Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Believe in the many possibilities. Believe in yourself. Miracles happen whether you notice it or not. Notice, observe, love God, yourself, and others. Hey, welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network. I just wanted to start this show today with a quote from a man I deeply respect and admire here in my community, Mr. Tom Stewart. He sent me that quote this morning when I called upon him to share with me a thought that he would have for younger men. And I share that because it's super important for me to raise up, be part of the team that raises up a future generation of leaders in this world. And I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach here on Life Coach Radio Network. And I am incredibly privileged this afternoon to have author, speaker, and major world changer and influencer in studio here with me today, Jonathan Kafferman. He is the author of The Manual to Manhood, and it's got 100 amazing skills, talents, and character builders that young men and older men need to survive and thrive in this thing that we call life. And so welcome, Jonathan, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's just such a pleasure. You know, Jonathan, you and I met each other here in Los Alamos, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to pull some of the people here in my community, because you literally walked part of our streets not that long ago and were able to interact with our community here in New Mexico. And oh my goodness, we were so incredibly privileged to have you here with us. And again, here live on the radio today. And so when you heard me share that, Jonathan, about believe in the many possibilities, believe in yourself and the miracles, whether you are noticing them or not, I would love to hear your take on that as we launch into talking about your amazing book, Manual to Manhood.
Well, I think that the author of that quote and whomever shared it with you has an insight that many people need to take time, slow down long enough to take time and notice that life is a great blessing and there are miracles happening around us all the time. I had a conversation with a gentleman last week in Starbucks, and he's the author of a book that quotes a story related to my wife, and he had met her every morning over coffee. She was a barista at the Starbucks where he came in every day. And a time went by when she was no longer working at Starbucks, and he ran into her again at a local store in our community, and he couldn't place her. But he had the time. He stopped and he said, "How do I know you?" And she named him and his drink, and he laughed and he thought, "Oh my goodness, out of context." But then he got to thinking about it. He says, how many times do we fail to see maybe where God works in our life and we just fail to see it because we're not in the context of what we expect? And I think that there's miracles happening around us all the time. The question is, are our eyes tuned for the context of which those miracles are happening? So take time, everybody, take time to slow down long enough to look around and take a look and see how amazing life really is, including the many miracles that we sometimes just pass us right by.
What a beautiful story. You know, and I think you bring up an incredible point, Jonathan, within that story about the failure to see what's out of context, right? I talk a lot. I am a well-being certified coach, and I talk a lot with my people about what is it, what lens are you looking through when you view the world, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, that story about the barista and then a local store with your wife and how all of that was able to snap right off, what a beautiful example of that. And, you know, being willing to pick up a new lens. And kudos to her for her memory and her really conscious awareness of who was around her and who she was interacting with. That's wonderful.
She's something else. She remembers far more than I will ever forget. So she knows folks by name and something story, something special about them, and it means a lot to people when there's that personal touch there. I think that when it comes to taking notice, that there's a lot of value that every young man needs to do as well, and where he fits into this world and the contributions he can make and the benefits he will experience and how he can continue to better himself. But they have to put on that lens. Like you said, you got to look through that lens. How can I find something of value today? How can I give a value today? What is the benefit to others and myself?
Oh, man. Powerful statement. Yeah, lots of tweetable moments there for those of us in social media. Huge, Jonathan. And, you know, I am so glad and feel just so incredibly fortunate that we're allowed to have this conversation today on the eve of Father's Day. You know, here we are,
yeah.
We're going to approach Father's Day here this weekend. And I thought, how cool is God to have that timing? Because we met quite some time ago. We didn't know for sure when we were going to do this radio show, but we both had committed to each other that we were going to gather and share a conversation about this topic called manhood. And how neat. So happy Father's Day, for one, to you and to all the gentlemen who are listening and women in their lives. Make them feel really special today, as well as the men in their lives. So I just wanted to kind of put that plug out there for each one of us. And Jonathan, I would really like it if you could tell us a little bit about your lovely family and a little bit about your background and what led you to write this book, The Manual to Manhood.
Sure. A little bit of the family background. I have a beautiful bride who's also my best friend, and we've been married coming up on 19 years here next month. But I think we were figuring out the other day we've known each other now for longer than we haven't known each other. And just a great lady. She's actually sitting right to my left right now as she is driving me chauffeur style to the airport so we can have this conversation in studio via the beauty of technology. I've got two boys, Reed and Cole. They are 14 and 11. Just graduated or moved up from middle school is my son Reed. He's headed into ninth grade next year, and my son Cole is moving from elementary into middle. So we're in the thick of all thick things, if you will. We're really looking forward to the year ahead, and we enjoy each other as a family. We have a lot of fun, ranging from some of our little funny family sayings we have, like we are catheter men in the making, and we go on catheter man missions, and we do fun things like that, to time we spend together at the Charlotte Whitewater Center, where we spend a day out rafting and mountain biking and the like. So we love to play together and have some fun. We live outside Charlotte, North Carolina. We are not native Carolinians. We moved here by choice and love it, with the exception of days like today when it's 100 degrees, but this too shall pass.
Indeed. Oh, thank you for that beautiful introduction. And, you know, when you were here in Los Alamos, Jonathan, you shared that Catherman mission that you guys go on. And, you know, I would love it if you could introduce our listeners to what exactly is a Catherman mission at your house. Give us a little sneak peek into that.
Sure. Well, having the last name Catherman just blends well in having then two sons. Erica, not to be confused, my wife, she is the Catherman mom. So it just sort of all fits
Love
together.
It.
But Catherman missions are particularly the boys and I heading out to go do something manly. And you have to say it right. You kind of got to say it a bit like a pirate. You know, you got the Catherman mission, and growl a little bit at the end there. But it's not to be confused when I say something manly. That doesn't mean we're out hunting and fishing and getting muddy and riding motorcycles, although there are days where certainly we're manning up. But the reality of a Catherman mission is we're out running errands. We're learning as a father and as my sons, I'm teaching them and they're learning how to become independent young men so that they know how to do everything from pump gas to get hamburger meat at the grocery counter, how to serve a neighbor with a leaky pipe, to do a job in the neighborhood that someone's paying you to watch their animals. We just do counterman stuff. And we try to have fun with it. And the end in mind is that I'm not doing it for them, but they're able to do it on their own so that the day will come when they set out independently that they are confident and capable. So we have fun naming those things Catherman missions.
And that's so cool, everybody. I just thank you for sharing that, because I think that just brings in just the breadth and the depth of the character that you and your wife have and the vision that you have for your families, that you're able to, you know, make fun, have a good time, and also use it as teachable moments as you walk along the way, that really not taking any of those moments or those sacred times together as a family to really build into the vision that you have for your young men in your life.
Absolutely. Well, we believe that the boys are going to become good quality men who are high in character and capable in skill, but we have to do that on purpose. And they will acquire those skills and that character by practice. And we have no illusion that practice makes perfect. We believe that practice makes better. And so, you know, I'll joke and we'll tease and we'll talk about that as a family, that, you know, practice makes, my boys will fill in the sentence better. In fact, I was at my son's moving up ceremony. I got to speak there this year, and I asked the entire audience to fill in the blank, practice mm-hmm. makes, and I hear him say better. And it's good to know that when we repeat, these are the things we tend to remember, and we remember the things that we repeat. And young men or boys who are men in the making, coming of age, need to practice that which we want them to be proficient at. And if I'm focused on the quality skills that they need to succeed, as well as the character that's going to set them up for a lifetime, everything that they be will go into everything that they do. So the character and then the skills, and it's got to be done on purpose. Certainly we do a few on accident from time to time, but we want to be designed in our parenting. So it's a value to us.
You know, huge. And how uniting for you and your wife and for your boys to rally around those core principles that absolutely define who the Cather men are and who the Cather mom is. And I can imagine that that really helps you when you wake up in the morning and you're purposing your day, you're kind of setting out, putting your feet on the floor and getting ready to get going, you kind of know what you would like to see happen in the course of your day in order to fulfill that vision that you have for your kids.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point that anybody needs to consider is why do you get out of bed and put 2 feet on the floor other than the fact that you woke up? I'm afraid, and from as many people I've talked to, I believe it to be true, most folks do that simply because today is probably going to be a repeat of yesterday and they're hoping for a little better of an outcome. But there's not everybody wakes up with design and purpose. And before my boys were even born, that design and purpose became very clear in my life. And that is to help raise a generation to discover and become all God created them to be. It just so happens that my sons are part of that generation. As a sociologist and as an educator, as someone who's focused on their faith, I know that there are a lot of young people today who are grappling with their identity. And so when I start the day and have engagements with my own children, as much as I'm headed out somewhere else like I am today, flying down to Florida to work tomorrow, to help others identify who they are and what they're capable of, I need to be certain I'm doing that for my own boys. You know, I believe that we serve first at home and then about. And so family is critical in raising up my sons to do so. And the nice thing also is Erica is a more than just a partner in this. Yesterday we were in the office and she's sitting across in her side of the desk and she's working on a plan for the summer for the boys. So then just sit around and play video games all summer. And there was everything in that plan ranging from trips and adventures around our area to what responsibilities do they have in the home that they don't normally because they're off at school. So what's going to happen ranging from the bathroom to what's going to happen when it goes to out on hikes, who's cleaning, and what waterfalls are we going to hike up to and see this year. So it's got to be a collaboration if it's going to be maximized, and I'm very lucky and privileged and blessed to have that in our home.
That's just so huge, to really set those parameters, those boundaries, those goals, and develop a strategy in order to see that happen. That's just incredible. And what a gift that you're giving the boys. Because, Jonathan, what I think is so cool, and kudos to Erica. Hey, Erica from Leanne. And, it's really great when we can, because God's word says, without a vision, the people perish. And I really see you and your wife walking your talk in that. And I knew that from the moment I met you here in Los Alamos, that you were a man who took walking your talk very, very seriously. And we had chatted over lunch a little bit about that we don't leave a legacy, we live it every day. And you and Erica and your boys are just a stellar example of that to those of us who are bearing witness to your life. And so thank you for that gift.
Well,
and,
you.
I want to hear, oh, you're welcome. And I would love to hear, Jonathan, about what really propels you. Obviously, your vision for your family, obviously your faith and your strong leadership ability and skill set. But what else led you to write this book, not only for your own boys, but for this next generation?
Sure. Well, the story goes back quite a ways, but then it has a couple of key turning points. And from the beginning, but keeping it brief, meeting many young people around the country, I began to see a reoccurring pattern, and it occurred in the meet and greet line after speaking engagement or when I was being introduced to somebody. And I put out my hand to shake the hand of a young man who's there at a leadership conference, and I get the dead fish handshake. Or you see someone who's supposed to be in a position of influence, and yet they don't, it looks like they unpacked their slacks out of a gym bag and they're just all wrinkled up, or not being able to interact in a conversation with eye contact, or the inability to do some of the simplest things in life that I saw growing in patterns in young people. And I believe if you can learn to be a steward of the little things, you can learn to be a steward of the big things in life. And scripture says the same, those who are faithful with little will learn to be faithful with much, or can be faithful with much. And I recognize then also as a sociologist that if we take a look at the stewardship of requirements today versus the stewardship of requirements in life 25 years from now, when this emerging generation is of age and takes over the responsibilities of the world that we have prepared for them, there's going to require more of them 25 years from now than is required of us today. But yet the trajectory for them to live that well, if we just stay on the current course, I don't believe it's favorable for many young men and young women for that case. So I got to thinking a long time ago, it would be really great if we had a resource like, and then I didn't know what to call it at that time, but something for young men to reference so that they could learn how to do things in character. Well, of course, internet, they can Google anything they want online. Only problem with that is they're one or two clicks away from something we don't want them to know how to do yet at that age, or don't need to know how to do ever. So I was in a car accident in Texas a few years back, and in the midst of the breaking glass and the deploying airbags, I had a single thought run through my brain as I thought, this is it. The thought was, who's going to raise my sons? And when the accident came to culmination with me standing on the side of the road with nothing more than a bruised hip and a totaled rental car, but very, very far from home, I had one of those really get serious moments on the side of a busy freeway in Texas where I said, okay, I'm a pretty decent dad parenting with purpose here. And that's when, after that trip came home and we engaged in the Cather Man missions at home and really buckled down and turned what started off as a letter essentially to my sons, and they'll capture some interesting instructions for them and hold it in a file if anything ever happens to me. That turned into what we now have as the Manual to Manhood. And one of the values in the book is it's not just my knowledge. I'm not an expert in everything, and I have a lot to learn in life. And so I went to world-class experts and asked them about everything from driving skills to being a professional athlete. I've never been a professional athlete. I don't know what it means to hold a land speed record. So I went to those who do, be it celebrity chefs or financial managers, and said, what do young people need to know? What do young men particularly need to know that will help them gain the skills and in turn the capabilities and confidence to step forward in life? And the answers we've captured in The Manual to Manhood. The format's really fun and very simple, and I wrote it for my boys with them in mind. What would my own sons as tween and early teens want to read? And so the layout is manual-ish. You know, here, step one, how to do X, Y, Z. But then there's also character content from men of great character who happen to be world-class experts who lend their advice to guys that may or may never have access to someone like that. But here they have just a page or two of some of the best advice he'll ever get from some of the best men in the world.
Wow. Oh, I'm just so full. Thank you for that. And I'm so grateful that your life was spared and that you had that defining pivotal moment, because I see this Manual to Manhood book just impacting our culture in great ways. I have it in my hands right now. I absolutely love it. I have enjoyed every story, every instruction that I have read, everything from how to fold a shirt, which is super important. You know what else I thought was really fun? How to care for your feet. You know, all
yeah.
of this stuff that we don't, you know, I love that, right? And, it sounds like you have had mentors in your life and key influencers in your life that have really dramatically poured into you. And, you know, we don't know it all. And how cool that you have built for yourself a community that you could go to for resources in order to build this fantastic tool for these young guys to learn from.
I think God's gifted us all with a variety of blessings. And one of the blessings I have is over the years been able to meet some pretty remarkable men, as well as paid attention to what many wise women have said. And the deal about the feet, I remember that one came about because I recall back to what both my wife and other ladies have said about, nice guy, but did you see his feet? like, that's got what a horrible deal breaker. Especially, let's say you're a young guy and you're wanting to go out on a date with a girl, and you're wearing some flip flops, and she looks down, you got gnarly toes or some nasty blisters. I mean, it doesn't seem like much, and we can kind of laugh out and be slightly grossed out as I'm getting funny face from my wife sitting to my left. But at the same time, it's the little things that build up. And I don't think that your feet trumps your character. Yet, we also want to put guys in a position where what they can steward, they take responsibility for. And so whether it's knowing how to change a tire on the side of the road, I love the advice, practicing your driveway before you have to learn on the side of the freeway. How simple is that? And any young man, and I'm really a dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, someone like that says to their son as he's getting ready to drive, hey, let's go out in the driveway and let's see if we can change the tire. It means a lot. In fact, I have a friend down who's in Florida who is a middle school counselor, and he got a group of boys in like a permanent ISS, in-school suspension, and the principal came looking to see how the boys were doing, couldn't find them anywhere. And somebody said, I think they're out in the parking lot. Sure enough, principal goes walking out of the parking lot, finds this counselor and these boys all around the counselor's car, and the counselor's got it jacked up. And principal says, well, what are you doing with these guys? They're supposed to be in suspension. Counselor says, you told me I could have these guys do anything I want as long as we kept them out of trouble. Well, today we're learning how to change a tire in a car, which every one of these boys are going to need to know how to do one day. Last week, we learned how to shake hands. We learned how to shave, and we learned how to tie a tie. They will perform better in the classroom when they feel better about themselves. And I'm building these boys up to become young men who are confident. And sometimes you need that kind of mentor. And sometimes you need to just hear somebody else say that they like something or don't like something. Either way, take the advice, look for people who are better at something than you. Be humble enough to learn and then practice.
Absolutely. What a creative, beautiful way to use what we used to call in my day, detention. You know, just imagine, Jonathan, if that was, you know, some of the focus where we absolutely took these kiddos who are a captive audience, either from great behavior or misbehavior in some way, and really taught them a skill to build that confidence. Because from the work that I do and the people I've chatted with over the years, and, you know, obviously my own life experience, is oftentimes that conflict and the misbehavior can come due to a lack of confidence or a lack of identity. It's such a huge deal. And I see that a lot with young men. Doggone it, our culture has stripped young men of the ability and the desire to actually be young men. And your manual really helps to identify those key areas to give the guys that confidence and help them to adapt to their culture, to their situation. You know, how cool mm-hmm. is it that now those gentlemen, because of that time, have that skill. And once you learn those skills, they're not going to go away. At least you're familiar with them. And, you know, I've heard funny stories, and I think one of them might have been from you, Jonathan, in a talk that you did, but just about, you know, going out on a date with a girl and you have a flat tire and you don't know how to change it. She does, and you got to call AAA or your dad to come get you because you're way too embarrassed to open up that little bit of arena that's incredibly humbling for a young man. So how much more powerful would it be for these guys to have some of these basic skills to really be of service?
That's right. And that, I did tell you that story, and that came from one of the interviews I did with a guy named Ned Wolf, who is a lead tool trainer for Irwin Tools. And Ned and I were in his shop, which is like every man's dream shop, every power tool and accessory you can imagine. And we're talking away, and he's describing a date that his daughter went on and that did not end well due to a flat tire and the young man's inability to change the tire. And he said, my daughter knew how to change. And she was almost embarrassed for this guy when he had to call AAA. And she says, you know, I wasn't going to do it for him. That would have totally, you know, deflated his masculinity. But then who shows up? Another guy and changes the tire. He said, my daughter said, he was a really nice guy, but I don't think I'll go out on a date with him again. If he can't take care of himself, how could he ever take care of me?
Holy cow. And so hence one of the reasons why we're doing this show, why I wanted to promote your book and the story behind it. It is so important for guys to learn how to do this stuff today. You know, I was chatting with my husband about this because oftentimes people joke about my husband saying that he's a jack of all trades because there's about nothing he won't try and do. And we were mm-hmm. chatting just last night again about what has been different today than was when we were growing up. You know, and he said they've taken away shop classes. He said a lot of the confidence that I gained not only was from being on the farm and working with my dad there, but it also was the fact that in school I was able to take shop classes and learn all these really funky skills that a lot of my friends didn't know how to do. So what other mm-hmm. challenges? Yeah, what other challenges prevent our young men from learning these incredible skills and character building that you talk about?
I think there's a combination of barriers, and not to curse technology, but things are getting complicated. You know, toilets don't just flush anymore. They have some compression valves, or they have a hand motion sensor. I mean, things are just getting techy and complicated and a little more difficult to tackle as a weekend warrior or on the honey-do list. And so at the same time, we are lacking time. And so between the compounded complications and I just don't have time to do this, I might as well just hire somebody to come in and do that. The hurdles that is creating is, for young men particularly, it gets expensive, but it also, there's a sense of confidence that comes with, you know what, I gave that a go and I fixed that table. Or Here I'm off at college, and I accidentally put my hockey skate through the sheetrock on the wall in my rental apartment, and I got to fix that or else it's more expensive. I'm going to lose my deposit versus just fixing it up really cheap and easily. I think there's a mindset that comes that leads to the skill set. And the skill set's backed up by the tool set. But with the technology and the time and the ease of having somebody else do it, we almost lose a mindset that we can. So my encouragement to guys is get the mindset. I can give this a try. And, you know, Manual to Manhood has got 100 how-tos. There's others. Ways to find that information if it's not in the book, and or ask somebody who knows how to do it. What a great compliment to a mentor. Can you show me how to? And then give it a go. You may or may not get it right the first time, and that's okay. Give it a try again later, and you'll build up that skill set. And in due time, you'll acquire the tools you need also. But the mindset and skill set trump the tool set. And the example I use is my grandfather was a carpenter. He had a career outside of carpentry, but he was a very good carpenter. He built his own house, great at designing things, and he could, I remember, help me build my first table. And he had a mindset of a carpenter. He also had the skill set. He knew how to use both everything from the grain of wood appropriately to a skill saw correctly. And then he had the tools as well, be it the hammers and the vices and the like. But you could hand that man a rock and he could pound a nail because he knew how to do it. He had the mindset and the belief that he could. And he had the skill set because he'd practiced before. But then he had the tools because he had the proper hammers also. You go into my shop, you'll see I've got framing hammers and I've got roofing hammers and I've got hammers you use if you're working in concrete and other hammers you use if you're using for finished carpentry. And then I've got air hammers and special devices to pull out nails if they're bent or in the wrong position. I have the tools, but they can just sit there on the wall and in their cases, and they're useless unless I believe I can do it and I practice and I gain the skills acquired needed to actually put them to use. So young men need to work on that mindset and that skill set. They'll acquire the tools. The hurdles are getting past the belief that they can and finding someone or a resource like the Manual to Manhood that will help them. One of the things I've done to encourage groups of guys to meet together is I just started building, and I've already posted the first set online on my website, jonathankathman.com. But there are group activity guides, and they're how to work with a guys group, say, at a school or even at a youth group or a civic group, and go through what it's like to give a proper handshake, how to properly tie a tie, how to properly swing a hammer, so things like that. So sometimes the hurdles that young men are facing is they also don't have the environment to practice in with others, and so I'm trying to create resources that makes that environment easy to access for adult mentors and those who are committed to the best future of young men.
I love that, Jonathan. You know, we do need each other, and the young men need the older men to teach them, to mentor them, to reach out, to have the courage themselves to learn a new skill if they have to in order to build into this next generation, because if we don't do it, who will? And so
thank you.
You know, I just want to encourage those moms and dads that are listening out there or influencers in your community, get a hold of Jonathan's book, The Manual to Manhood. Get a group of guys together and start to be able to look for creative, real innovative kind of entrepreneurial ways in order to serve your community in this next generation. You know, your daughter might marry one of these guys someday or your niece or your favorite, you know, gal and youth group. And so we want them to be equipped. And I'm super blessed in my life. I've got a son who we did teach how to have a proper handshake. I've got a son-in-law who can repair drywall in his apartment and or in their home together, and how incredibly blessed I am as a mom even to have that confidence to know that my daughter is cared for and that my son is able to care for his family. So thank you for that, and kudos to you on this journey. You know, I'm dying to ask you one question, and I know you have to scoot here in a moment to catch your flight,
sure.
But the one question I want to know is, What is a skill that you learned by writing this book that you absolutely had no idea or experience with?
Skill I learned I didn't have an idea or experience with. You know, I honestly think it's going to sound kind of funny, but cologne, how to properly wear cologne. I've never been a big cologne guy. Like, it's never been important to me to wear cologne. At the same time, I'll smell these middle schoolers in a school I'm working in, and it's just like Axe body spray just fills the whole hall, and it's just overpowering. And so when I started doing the research on how to properly wear cologne, I didn't realize that skin temperature changes the smell of cologne or changes how it releases into the air and the duration of wear and how much to wear. And so that was one of the fun research pieces and trying to get it right so that guys have more success. And I found success, just to quickly end on this story pertaining to this, my son traded him all of his product that had, you know, the scent of, you know, fire and ice or volcano. And I'm like, what smell is volcano anyway? But I traded him all of his body spray, his soap, his shampoo, his after shower rinse or whatever. I traded it all. I said, how much do you think this is worth? We came up with a number. And we figured it was about $45. I said, tell you what, I will trade you all of that stinky for a non-scented bar of soap and a regular type of shampoo, and then we'll go get you a real men's cologne. And he agreed, and it was like this big rite of passage. I forget, he sampled about four or five, and he finally picked the one that he wanted. And there were adults around, and they were all impressed the way he was sampling, and he took this cologne home with great pride. Well, shortly thereafter was the first day of school, and he and I have a Catherine Mann tradition. The first day of school, we hit a coffee shop on the way to school. And so we're standing there in line at the coffee shop, and I get this faint scent of cologne. And I leaned in a little bit, and I went, hey, that smells really good. He goes, thanks, Dad. And I said, yes, I like the amount. Yes, it's good. He goes, I know. And he said, I read your book. And I said, well, thank you. I mean, I wrote it for you after all. He goes, and I applied it just enough that if you really want to smell it, you got to lean in, Dad. You got to lean in. I said, that's good. He goes, it's really good for the ladies. I'm like, oh. Try to get the girls to lean in to smell his really good cologne. I thought, oh, what a guy. So here he's, you know, an eighth grader, and he's starting to wear his cologne correctly. I thought, oh, we got a good laugh out of it, and I love telling that story.
Oh, thank you so much for that lovely story. And Jonathan, thank you for this amazing time on air here with me today. I have learned so much from you and with you, and I am so excited to promote your book, the mission that you have, and I will continue to keep your family in my thoughts and prayers as you journey into manhood with your precious young man and your lovely wife. And so thank you again for your gracious gift of time and sharing of your wisdom and your knowledge with us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. Please, once again, quickly before you hang up, I know people are going to want to know, how do I get a hold of this book? How do I find out more about Jonathan? Can you just share that real quick with us?
Sure. You can go straight to Amazon and look up The Manual to Manhood or Barnes & Noble. It's at all the major booksellers. In fact, right now, if you're listening in the next, say, couple days, Amazon even has a Kindle version for $1.99. We put it on sale for Father's Day. You can get it from website, which is Jonathan. Yeah, it's great. So, it's on sale there and paperback version as well. You can get the book from my website if you want me to sign it and personalize a note to someone, one of the guys in your life. My website is my name, jonathancatherman.com. You can go to Books A Million and pick it up off the shelf if you like. Just Google me and you can't miss it. Jonathan Catherman, and you'll find The Manual to Manhood without any trouble.
Oh, thank you so much, Jonathan. And I will be posting that as well on social media. Again, thank you for your time here today. And I look forward to having you on again on Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Network.
I look forward to that day too. Thanks very much, Leanne. We'll talk again soon.
That sounds great. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Wasn't that just the most amazing program with our guest, Jonathan Catherman, today? You know, he is a leading education consultant and a trainer. who specializes, as you can tell by our interview today, in the character and leadership development for youth. You know, I interviewed a while back a weatherman, local weatherman here in New Mexico by the name of Steve Stucker, and he had shared with me in that interview that he goes into detention centers and talks to young men all the time, and he has them raise hands if they have missed out on having a key male mentor in their lives. Do they have a dad at home? Do they have an uncle or a brother that they can lean on, or a male influence in their life that they can trust? And he said that oftentimes he doesn't see many hands go up at all, claiming that amazing privilege. And so if you are listening within the sound of my voice today, and you have a heart to reach out and impact this next generation, I encourage you to seek your local communities and find out what resources and what areas you can serve in and really pour into these young men, because they do need mentors to teach them all these beautiful skills that they can learn. But if you don't teach them, perhaps nobody else will. And it is part of our responsibility as the more mature generation to do that for the next generation. You know, I wanted to share a little bit more about some of the quotes that were sent to me via my plea on social media to some of the key influencers that I have been so privileged in my life to be impacted by. And I was really encouraged by another wise gentleman who answered me, who said, "I would tell these young men that it's okay to wrestle with the thoughts that rattle around in your head that nobody else knows about. But I would also say that it's very important to talk about those thoughts with another trusted adult." And that is from Mr. Jamie Duke. From Mr. Paul Cunningham, he says, "I wouldn't say don't sweat the little things, because it's the time and love. I'm sorry, I would say don't sweat the little things, because it's the time and love you pour into your kiddos by playing games, by talking, by building into camping vacations, by building into relationship and providing fun experiences for them." Cunningham goes on to say that it will give you an audience with your children when they are older. We're going to make mistakes as parents. We are going to we're not always going to walk or talk with them, but we can trust that if we take the time to go deeper and to build into the relationships that God has entrusted us with, that there will be great fruit that happens. And, you know, my husband, I asked him, my precious Dwayne of 30 years now, we just celebrated our anniversary, and his thought to me was, from a financial aspect, "Hey, if you're a young man and you're making income, set aside $100 per month in an IRA right now, right where you're at. Don't wait to start investing and providing for your families." Another thought that he had was, follow the biblical principles. By following the biblical principles, knowing the Bible and studying it, especially with other men, will help keep you on a path of integrity, purity, and right living that you want to do. And so I've got another one that I thought was super beautiful thought here that I wanted to share with you. And it is from my friend Roberto, and he says that, "I would tell my younger self to give my all to any activity I'm engaged in and have fun, because youth passes so quickly." Roberto would tell his older self to be grateful for the life he has been given and to continue to live it to the fullest, because that will increase your strength. I totally just love the gentleman that I am privileged to walk this journey called life with and to learn from each and every day. It's such an honor. You know, I've got another one of my fellow coaching colleagues, and his name is Alan, and he was one of the first ones to chime in this morning and share with me a thought that he wanted to really have ripple out. And so I wanted to just highlight what Alan shared as well. And he said he has started a group called Men Make a Mark. And so he wasn't able to join us live today. But he shared with me about not allowing the opinion of others to limit us in any way. He said that it's something he even struggles with today as a grown man. He shared that we place too much stock in the opinion of others. And when we do that, we can lose sense of who we truly are. And it can create static between ourselves and our source. And I just loved the gentleman, and I really appreciate each of you who have taken the time to share with me today and be able to share that with you live here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. I do come live to you twice per month here on the network on the first and third Thursday of every month. And I do, those of you who have been with me for a while, thank you for being a faithful listener, for sharing the links to our radio program with those you love and care about. If there is somebody in your world that you see walking their talk, perhaps it's you, perhaps it's a spouse or a child or somebody incredibly influential in your life, please connect us. I would love to talk with them and learn more about their story. Also, I have some upcoming shows that I want to share with you here on Life Coach Radio Network. We have Niche Avery on 6:20 at 7:30 p.m., and she's going to talk about being emotionally and mentally fit. On June 21st, you can join Coach Mark Shaw on Mark My Word at 9 p.m., and on the 25th of June, Deborah Mathis is going to have a kind of a fun topic here. What are you willing to do in order to be what you want to be? And that's on 8 p.m. on the 25th of June. I will join you again in July. I encourage you to reach out to me at 505-412-1817. I would love to connect with you and hear more about your story. If your life has in any way been impacted by adoption, I am a team builder within the tapestry of adoption, and I really enjoy getting to talk to others, whether you are a birth mom, an adoptive mom, an adoptee yourself. I would love to hear your story and connect us. I am part of building some teams together in order to impact the younger generation, so perhaps they may not experience some of these identity questions that we have brought up here on our radio program today. So I do believe, as the Walk Your Talk coach at Legacy Now Lived, that we do live our legacy every day, that we do not just leave a legacy, but we have an opportunity to create our story every day. We have an opportunity to love, be in the present moment with everybody that we have the privilege of doing this thing called life with. So until next time, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach. Again, thank you to Jonathan Katherman and his wife, Erica, for sharing their vision for their families, their love, their faith, and Jonathan's fabulous book, The Manual to Manhood. Again, jump on Amazon here in the next couple of days, and you can get a digital copy for, I believe he said, $2. So I encourage you to reach out if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments about this program. And I look forward to our time together again in July. God bless, be well, and happy, happy Father's Day to all of you out there in radio land within the sound of my voice. May you all walk with courage, discipline, integrity, and service to others. God bless and be well.